He said, what I want you to do is I want you to write a note, and I want you to place it up on your bathroom mirror. And on that bathroom mirror, I want you to write, screw the damn kids. Let them live in ignorance. And so she did that. She posted that on the mirror, and he said, you need not look at it. She said, you don't need to look at it. He said, but if you do, every time you look at it, let it remind you of all the things that your kids are missing out on. Let it remind you of all the things they're missing out on in terms of hiking the Grand Canyon or going out there and climbing Squaw Peak and visiting the botanical gardens. And he really painted the picture of all the things that the children were missing out on. Now, by the way, what he was doing here in this case is he was entering into her model of the world and using her own internal propulsion system to make the change. So she ended up writing back to him about a year later, and she had lost all this weight. And she said, thank you so much, and my kids, and I'm taking them all over the place, and we're visiting all the local attractions and so on and so forth. And she said, and I'm really healthy and fit, and I'm appreciative of the work that you did with me. Now, this is a case of getting in there and working with that person's, with that client's model of the world and using that as their own internal propulsion system to assist them in making that change. So respect for the model of the world of the client. When we do that, we can really make amazing, amazing changes. Yeah. Yeah. What else? What are some other favorite presuppositions of NLP? Yes, absolutely. The meaning of the communication is the response that you get. That is absolutely one of my personal favorites in terms of empowerment. Because in some of the old communication courses, they used to say things like, each person inside of an interpersonal communication has 50% responsibility for the communication. But the fact is that to the extent that we're only taking 50% responsibility for that communication, we're losing 50% of our power. To the extent that we take 100% responsibility for the communication and we judge the meaning of our communication by the response that somebody gives us, then we have 100% responsibility for getting the result that we want with that client. So if we look out at the client and we judge the way we see, sometimes, and I've had this in the past where, like, let's say you have a miscommunication with somebody and you go, you didn't get what I'm telling you. You need to get this. By the way, if you take that type of stance, you very rarely get the outcome that you want. You very rarely get that person to turn around. What I'll tend to do nowadays is I'll look at somebody, and if they're not getting what I'm saying, I'll say, oh, I must have miscommunicated with you. This is what I intended to communicate. That gives me all the space in the world to get the result that I want. If I'm also, like, in terms of working with a client, if I notice that I communicate one thing, yet the client goes out and does something else, I could say, oh, they didn't get it, or they were resistant, or so on and so forth. But instead, if I take the personal responsibility and go, ooh, I must have communicated, I must have miscommunicated, and therefore, they're off doing this other behavior, what that does is it allows me to shift my own communication until I eventually get the result with that client. And that gives us really maximum power in terms of producing results with the client. So we always look at the situation, we say, okay, the meaning of the communication is the response that I get. Yeah. Good. What else? Which part?
Your response that I must have miscommunicated with you.
Oh, I must have miscommunicated my intentions. By the way, this is easier to get now with email. In email, like, we've got correspondence going with email nowadays, and you'll say something, but it's hard to capture. Remember, when you're writing, that's your language is a representation of your internal representation. So you're attempting to communicate a message in language, which is going to leave a lot of space for ambiguity and for the other person filling in the blanks how they will. So now, and we'll get this sometimes when we're communicating with people. So now what I'll do is I'll say, oh, I'm sorry, I must have miscommunicated. I must not have really clearly communicated what it is, what my intentions were. This is what I intended to communicate to you.
Don't you think that would vary, though, on whatever person's mode of
VAK, whatever they... It could be varied based upon whether they're primarily visual, auditory, or kinesthetic. I think it's going to be varied based upon everything that's involved. Every one of their filters, based upon their values, this is why there's such tremendous space for miscommunication in the world. Because words have, and we're going to find this out later, words have a distinct meaning for us based upon our life experience. The words that we use to represent or to represent our experience are going to have an entirely different meaning to us based upon our own individual filters than they will to somebody else. The life experience, and people think that the words that they say have meaning. But what we find out especially as we get deeper into this, is that all meaning is context dependent. All meaning is dependent upon the context in which it appears. In fact, if you wanted to, like if you wanted to make a dictionary, anybody know how you'd make a dictionary? You would go and you'd buy up all of them. This is how you might make a dictionary. You go and you'd buy all the books in print. And then you'd look at every individual word and you'd write that, maybe you'd write it down on a 3x5 card or something, and you'd come up with the meaning of that word based upon the context in which it appears. And you say, okay, this word means this, and then you compile your dictionary. So all meaning is based upon the context in which it appears, which from a communication standpoint tells us is that the meaning that somebody associates to a word is based upon their life experience, the context in which the word appears for them or has appeared for them. Interestingly enough, in some NLP trainings, what we'll actually do is we'll have people, we do one exercise where we'll take a word like sex or education. Now, people have different meanings hooked up to these words. So we'll have them write down the word, sex, and like, let's say we do it in a group of six. They'll write down that word. And everybody will have to write down six meanings, what that word means for them. Six meanings of the word sex, or education. You can do this with education as well. So if you've got six people in the group and they're all writing down six meanings of that word, then if you ask the group to get a match, like where everybody in the group wrote down the same meaning, we'll find that very, very rarely happens where everybody has written down the same thing. They'll all have a different meaning for that word. Same thing with education, which tells us that, from an experiential standpoint, that's quite an interesting exercise to do because that tells us that everybody has their own meaning. See, we use words and we think that they have an inherent meaning in the word. But we'll find that everybody, especially on semantically charged words where there's lots of potential meaning, such as sex or education, we're going to find that everybody has their own meaning for that. You know, in business, they say that one of the leading causes for losses, financial losses in business, is misunderstood communication. And a lot of that is because we all have meanings, different meanings ascribed to words. And we'll take a look at it. We'll get deeper into that as well. Scratching your head, thinking, pondering. So what's another favorite presupposition? No failure, only feedback. Absolutely. This is no failure, only feedback. This one presupposition can be used. Now, let's think of it from a couple of different contexts. First off, from the context of doing NLP, like if you were coaching somebody or doing some sort of a therapeutic session or consulting, doing business consulting with NLP, when we keep in mind that there's no failure, there's only feedback, if we have sufficient behavioral flexibility, we'll eventually get the result that we want to get. Right? There's no failure, there's only feedback. That gives us the ability to look at anything that comes up. People often ask me, they'll see me do private work with people, or if I do demonstrations on stage, they'll say, wow, how did you remain so calm and cool and collected through that? Well, the way that, if you find that something comes up, or this issue comes up here or there, the way I do that is having that underlying belief that there is no failure, there's only feedback. And when I have that underlying belief, I can look at anything that comes up as not being a failure, but I can look at it as being something that I can utilize to eventually get the outcome. All right? So there is no failure, there's only feedback. That's in the context of working with somebody in consulting or in NLP. And let's look at it in the context of life and producing our own outcomes, those things that we want to achieve in life. The people that become massively successful, whether it be in the context of their relationships or their career or their physical health, have that persistence and that resilience that keeps them moving toward the goal. And I think the underlying belief system behind that is, hey, I'm going to have that. In fact, Rupert Murdoch was once quoted as saying, there's no question but that we'll be successful. He was talking about his companies. He said, the only question is how quickly that success will come and to what level. He says, there's no question but that we'll be successful. So from that type of belief system, we could look at that and say, okay, yeah, there is no failure. There's only feedback. We're going to hit it. The only question is how quickly and to what extent. To what degree? That becomes very empowering belief. Now, by the way, the presuppositions of NLP are simply convenient beliefs, which when we keep these beliefs in mind, make us more powerful in our interpersonal communications and make us more powerful in terms of assisting people to produce the results that they want. Yeah. What's another favorite one? All procedures should increase wholeness. This is a nice one. In the early days, especially in therapy, they used to have forms of therapy that would cause or create, they would create fragments. Yeah, they would what's a good word? I was going to speak like George Bush there for a second. Fragmentize, I guess you could say that. Is fragmentize a word? strategery. We'll use the word fragmentize, yeah. That might fragment the individual, right? Like in the old days when they used to do